congratulations on graduating. What it means to you? What was that day like for you?
It was big, you know, being that, you know, the situation I came from and me being that I dropped out and getting my GED, you know, the odds were stacked up, stacked against me to get my, you know, my bachelor's degree. So, you know, it was a surreal moment. I kind of put it up there with the Super Bowl neck and neck. Super Bowl probably would have been better if we would have won two in a row. But, you know, it was a great moment, not only for me, for my son and my family. So I'm glad I got to experience it.
Was that personally self-motivated to get it done? Were you prodded by family members or people also? Or
really just me and just letting my son know, you know, his dad is more than a football player. You know, when kids, you know, come up to him, they can be like, you know, your dad was, you know, was a good football player, such and that he can stop him and be like, yeah, he was a good football player, but he also, you know, he got his associate's degree, got his bachelor's degree. So, you know, he wasn't only a football player, but he only, you know, he put education up there right along with his job. So, like I said, man, it was bigger than me, man. It's for my son and his kids and generations after me.
How long have you been working on it? How many classes did you have to do to be able to?
I had like 12 hours, but they did, you know, since West Virginia loved me so much, you know. They did some where I just wrote a portfolio, and then I had to go out and do community work. That's how I actually started getting into community work, because I had to go out and do it for my degree, and I actually liked it. So that's when I was like, dang, I actually kind of like doing this. So that's when I really got into it, going into community and, you know, feeding the homeless and stuff like that. So.
The first on either side of your family, Bruce, to have a degree, to get your degree?
First or? Ever, yeah. Yes, sir.
What was the degree in?
Sociology.
Okay.
Was it something that when you came out, you knew when you came out that you wanted to go back, or did you not think that at first, and later, and it used, like you said,
I mean,
the
when I came
service.
Out, my first check was $2.5 million, so you know, I wasn't thinking about going back to West Virginia after that, you know. But you know, as I grown, you know, like I said, had a son, it just became more and more important to me each year, you know. Like I said, that's one thing they can't take from me. You know, they can take this football stuff from me. They can take everything else. But, you know, that degree, that's forever. I'll always be a college graduate of, you know, West Virginia University. So, you know, that's big.
How old is your son?
He's 4. He'll be 5, June 13th.
Old enough to remember, probably.
Oh, yeah. He definitely talked like a 12-year-old. You know, the kids nowadays, they get a hold of these iPads and stuff like that. You know, they be 4 or 5 years old going on 23. So, you know, he's a smart kid. And I'm just, you know, everything I do is for him.
Right, live tweeting the whole graduation.
Oh, yeah. Was, you know, I'm trying to lay off the Twitter, though. Off the Twitter a little bit.
You could have live tweeted being a defensive end now. What would you be saying out there? Because it looks like you're having a lot of fun just being able to put your hand down and in the dirt and see ball, chase ball.
I'm just having fun getting back football, period. You know, anybody know me, they know. You ask anybody in the locker room, they know I talk smack. That's what I do. You know, it's no hard feelings, but, you know, you're going to hear me. You know, so, you know, the transition from linebacker to end has been very, very smooth. It seemed like defensive end is more natural to me. You know, it's a lot of going forward and reacting. Instead of me dropping the coverage, having to know on receiver routes and, you know, stuff like that, I think defensive end is a more natural fit and gets me going and reacting more instead of thinking and guard, covering people.
You been able to bounce anything off Khalil yet?
No, I ain't talked to my man, you know. I miss him, though. That situation is, you know, I never speak on another man's situation. That's him. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best, but you know, I gotta get these guys who's here ready. You know, Arden Key, Maurice Hurts, you know, PJ, all those guys. Those guys are gonna be important for us. And you know, that Khalil situation, that'll take care of itself. But you know, for me, it's my job to get these guys ready and get us ready for Los Angeles Rams.
Those guys all talked about how you talked to them at rookie minicamp. They talked about how important it was to hear from you, and you sort of told them what it was like to be a pro and things like that. What do you see from them, and what sort of leader are you for those young guys on the line?
Like I said, we need them. I mean, I don't know if y'all watch same football. I've been watching, but the last 2 years we've been dead last in sacks. So you know, we need those guys. You know, for me coming here, I'm in a different situation. I'm a leader now. And, you know, You know, guys look up to me. Guys look up to me. If we got 10 reps in the weight room, guys are looking if I do 7 or 8 or if I'm doing the whole 10. You know, that's big. So I got to carry myself different. I got to talk different. I got to motivate different. So, I'm in a great situation, man. You know, I wouldn't ask for no other place to be. We got a great group of guys, great defense, great new assistants. And, you know, things are really going good, and I can't wait to get it started, you know, during the season.
What's been your observation on this, the coaching staff and the energy they brought and the systems of football they're putting in?
Have y'all seen John Gruden?
Yeah.
So that's the
first time we got to watch a whole practice today. We get kicked out before.
I mean, what you see is what you get, man. Rah-rah guy. You know, I never seen a person's face stay red for 7 periods in practice. You know, the whole practice, he was just red. So, you know, he's a great motivator, man. The biggest thing for me that I got out of him, you know, the guy's been out for 8 or 9 years. And, you know, back when he was coaching, it was the old CBA. You know, tour days were allowed.
Yeah.
Shit, tackling at OTAs were allowed then. So, I think the biggest thing was for him to adjust, you know, adjust to guys, because, you know, it's millennial babies now. It's not like older guys no more. Guys, and I'm not talking down on nobody, but football is different now,
yeah.
You know. So, you know, I think he's done a great job of adjusting to the new CBA and taking care of his guys and, you know, letting his leaders control the locker room.
Two more guys.
What about you? How have you adjusted to his in-your-face, red-face manner of coaching?
He talks shit like I talk shit, so we get along. we got a great relationship. He speak his mind, I speak my mind. I come to work, he come to work. I mean, you couldn't ask to work with a person like that. A guy who's football. That's all it's about, winning in football. That's the type of culture you want in the building.
As a Super Bowl champion, someone who's been in this league for a while, your experience in the league is enough where you can reach young players and be that leader that you talked about. Mm-hmm. Your journey to the NFL, how do you use that as something of a testimony to reach some of these younger players, particularly ones who maybe were considered to be, you know, character or what have you? I mean, you've shown that, mm-hmm. Walter Payton, Man of the Year, college graduate, whatever tag you carry when you enter the league or people want to give you when you enter the league doesn't define who you are.
I was always a guy who, you know, I had to get burnt a couple times to learn, and that didn't change when I got in the league. You know, I had the suspension. I got locked up 2 weeks before the draft, then I got the suspension. So, when I got in the league, I still was immature. Even though I had been through what I had been through, I still was young-minded. I still was a kid. So, for me to go through what I went through, getting locked up, getting suspended, overcoming that, and, you know, look at me now. I'm one of the team leaders here. It's big. Yeah. You know, guys don't often get second or third chances, but I was one of the guys who was fortunate enough to get it. So I'm just happy that I didn't blow it and I learned in time. And, like I said, guys can learn from me. You know, it's never too late. You know, you can mess up, but, you know, just get the right people around you, surround yourself with the right people, and, it'll take care of itself.
Is that what Seattle was for you?
Seattle, it was a bunch of rebels in Seattle, but they knew how to tame us. One thing about us in Seattle was, you know, guys come to work every day. You know, it was football season. It wasn't no clubs. It wasn't nothing. It was we coming to work and we're going home with our family and we're waking up and we're coming back to work in the morning to try to reach our goal. So that's kind of the culture we're trying to install here, and I think it's on the way.
What have you seen from the young rookie tackles, Colton Miller and Brandon Parker? I don't know how much you went up against them today, but just what you've seen, first impressions.
Well, I didn't really go against them, but they're two big kids. They're long. They got enough body to put on a lot of weight. Brandon is athletic. I watch film on him, and Colton is athletic also. So, they got two great guys to learn from in Breno and D-Pen. So, we're really depending on those guys. We're going to need those guys also. So, I wish them luck, and I'm going to try to wear that.